from the 12th of August. We have voted on the 12th of August. 13th, we knew we had won the election. But there was no declaration. It was tense, true sometimes, unfair, negative African behavior, leadership, which we must all walk away from. When our time comes to go, we must go. We must go. But after a few days, President Koroma and his colleagues were able to bring us together with the exiting leadership and ourselves, and we agreed that the nation and the people of Zambia are more important than any one of us.
Hello and welcome to the Brentas Foundation podcast, where we throw light on some of the African continent's biggest and most pressing issues and leverage best practice, not just on what to do, but how to do it. I'm your host, Marina Wangoklo, and it's a pleasure to share in this moment with you. If you're new here, welcome. It's nice to have you here. If you're a regular, hey, how's it going? So this is the podcast where I share a lot of the super interesting conversations I have with really cool people. I'm a firm believer in sharing ideas that shape and challenge the world as we know it. My hope is that these conversations, where you get to be a fly on the wall, start further and deeper conversations wherever you are and lead to the exploring of actions and ideas that actually work and make a difference. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Again, I'm Marie Noel and you're listening to the Brentas Foundation podcast. So today's podcast is a special episode. Today I'm creating room for Expensive Poverty, which is the newest book by the foundation and authored by Dr. Greg Mills, Executive Director of the Brentas Foundation. While I won't ruin the book for you, I want to share a snippet from the book launch, which happened about 2 weeks ago and featured none other than His Excellency, President Hakainde Hichilema of Zambia. He had some of the most powerful words ever and demonstrated the ability to calm hearts and inspire minds, in my opinion. It was amazing. So without further ado, let's listen in to President Hichilema's address.
Ladies and gentlemen, this book, Expensive Poverty, offers not only a rearward view at what has gone wrong and how donors and Africans have often spoke past each other. Instead of talking to each other with each other, they have spoken past each other. Greg has looked at this issue in quite an elaborate but succinct way. In our pursuit of development as countries on this continent, we face many challenges. We work with different people. We get support from different sources. But it is important that we use this support, we talk to each other properly to structure this support in a way that delivers maximum benefits for all that are involved. I believe the donors want to see development in the recipient countries. The recipient countries want to utilize these donations in a manner that will add value for all our citizens. Greg has done more than analyzing this rear view, as I said. He's looked at how we can make this relationship, this support, beneficial. Expensive Poverty provides both a set of principles and strategic ideas behind how we can make this relationship prosper. It is remarkable what Greg has done, this son of Africa, and I want to address black Africans. Africa is our continent, black, white, brown, because today we marry each other. We love doesn't know that distinction. And so if we say Africa is for a certain color, that is wrong. What about our children? Born out of love, isn't it? How can something born out of love be unwanted? It doesn't make sense, isn't it? So thank you, Greg, son of Africa. We are proud of you for the work you've done in this expensive poverty book. I must turn to Zambia a little bit, say a few things about our own country. As an example, only as an example, let me take Zambia and share with you a few things. How we have let our people down as leaders, and how we are going, as a new government, make amends in future to ameliorate the situation that should have never been allowed to degenerate to where we are today. 2021 was a landmark year for Zambia. Two important events occurred in our country. First, unfortunately, the passing on of our independent Zambia father, freedom struggle father. The ANC will remember this individual very well, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, passed on in 2021. Most unfortunate, may his soul rest in peace. Another area issue is our election in August. The people of Zambia voted decisively and voted for change. Two critical events in the past year, just past year. I mentioned the passing on of Dr. Kaunda because Zambia has strong roots in many areas. In part, these roots are anchored on Dr. Kaunda and what he stood for. Remember earlier on, I talked about beliefs, values. Our foundation partially sits in this gentleman who is gone. He was a person who sought to save ordinary Zambians. And even if some of the policy decisions that his party promoted may not have yielded results as intended, his intentions were well-meaning. His intentions were genuine. I think we need that in leadership. We do need that. We wish that he would have lived on just, he died in June, just a few more months to have seen the transition that took place in August. Ladies and gentlemen, over the last decade, we have witnessed the erosion of our economy, largely arising from poor leadership and a breakdown in the rule of law, fundamental breakdown in the rule of law. It can cause damage, and it did cause damage. It has caused damage in our country. As a consequence, our debt mountain went up, very unsustainable debt. But from my training, if you are acquiring a liability or liabilities such as debt, the principle of double entry means the assets must sit somewhere. If we increased our debt, the other side of the equation, there were no assets. The economy declined. If you drew a graph, you would see the economy growing into 2011, 2015, change of government, leadership. From there on, the graph went down and down to a point where the economy, which was growing in 2011, GDP at 7%, now we are less than zero, so minus. This is what leadership, and when fundamentals break down, capital will not help us in that environment. Capital must be coupled with good leadership, well-meaning leadership. I think that's the message we are giving here. Our national budget has been overwhelmed by debt service, unproportionate debt service obligations, which is ways has weighed down the economy. Corruption has worsened things. Fortunately, the people of Zambia decided that enough was enough and ushered in a new government in August. It happens to be our government, from prison to president. This is, to us, to the Zambian people, a new opportunity for a better life, for a better Zambia, and the people of Zambia call our government a new dawn. That's what you hear being said. Another remarkable thing we want to say, this change of government leadership was the third peaceful democratic transfer of leadership since the advent of multipartism and democracy from the one-party state 3 decades ago. Some message there. It was an African election success, yet under difficult conditions. And I think other African countries can pick some little lesson from here, that we can actually change governments in a democracy peacefully, even when leaders that are in office at a particular time create conditions that are almost impossible to effect change of government. I think this is success for Africa. And we must nurse and grow this culture. It is notable that the African Union Election Observation Mission, headed by the former president of Sierra Leone, President Ernest Bai Koroma, played the role of wise counsel, wise elderly statesman, and stepped in to ensure that we had a smooth transition of power. From the 12th of August, we voted on the 12th of August, 13th, we knew we had won the election, but there was no declaration. It was tense, true sometimes, unfair, negative African behavior, leadership, which we must all walk away from. When our time comes to go, we must go. We must go. But after a few days, President Koroma and his colleagues were able to bring us together with the exiting leadership and ourselves, and we agreed that the nation and the people of Zambia are more important than any one of us. And I think a peaceful transition happened. The road ahead will not be without challenges, but with a clear vision and a plan, with a relentless determination, we believe, and strongly believe so, that we will deliver on the aspirations of the people of Zambia. We have no doubt about that. It will be difficult, we know. We understand. The erosion of value that I talked about is deep. But we think that there's a reason that we've come in at this time as a team. And I've always told my team members, cabinet ministers, that this is not a joyride. This is hard work based on what we believe in. That if we don't grow the economy, despite being African, coming from extended families, loving each other, wanting to give somebody who is in need, there is something that is true. Something that must be accepted by us on this continent. We cannot share poverty. We cannot share poverty. We need to grow our economies. We need to mobilize capital and use that capital prudently in a manner that will be seen by many whose needs are diverse in our countries, and that they can access opportunity out of this good leadership, good management, and utilization of the so mobilized resources from the continent, as we have heard from Baba, as Jonathan indicated, from outside the continent. I think we can do it. So we can make poverty the biggest enemy. Not a yellow African, not a black African, not a white African, but poverty as the biggest enemy, even when we access aid. We can't build our economies without encouraging investment. It's not possible. This is the mentality of sharing poverty. It's not possible. We should not be afraid of being called names to do the right thing. The right thing is to mobilize investments from our own people in our countries, from our own business houses, from others around the world. We need to harness technology. We need to harness skills. For us, we are clear that we need to harness the resources that God gave us as a country, resource endowments, in their diversity, including the minerals. With the climate change that is now accepted, that it's here, it's real, because many did not agree a few years ago that climate change was real. Now we all agree it is here. With the pandemic, we need to be more prudent. We need for us to take advantage of the electric car industry that is coming to deal with partially climate change, carbon fuels that have partially caused this damage. Now, in Africa, in the world, there are 14 countries that host, if you like, battery metals to support the electric car industry. And of these 14 countries, it's a debate, I don't want to get into it, 7 of these countries are on the African continent. And the leaders of this pack of 7 is Congo and Zambia. So we need, as Zambians and other countries, South Africa has some of those minerals, some of them. I don't want to waste your time, copper, cobalt, manganese, nickel, lithium. We need to utilize these resources, mobilizing capital, technology, working with ourselves. And I was saying when I met President Ramaphosa today that the first core of us working together is within our countries. Next step is within our region and on our continent before we extend a hand to Europe, to China, to America. When we have done that, we'll be able to face together. And this is where we should not draw a distinction between government and private sector. We are one. We want the same things. If we are able to work together in this manner, we will be able to face Europe, to face America and China in a way that we can negotiate in a much better arrangement. We move individually, we'll be too small for us. So we are determined to use this era, controlling climate change, electric cars to the maximum. But we need to mobilize capital. We need to work together so we can deal with expensive poverty. Ladies and gentlemen, I could say more. But we have made the point that we have work to do. We mobilize resources, working with donors in a different way, but better way. Working with private sector, our own private sector. I must confess here that what I inherited and found in government is that there's a tendency by leaders on our continent to demonize businesses. I just don't understand. I was a little business person before seeking politics. It was possible for me to go through a very difficult political environment, legal environment, because I learned the rope of doing things and surviving from business. How is it now that I'm president, I can demonize business? How do you create jobs? Why do we go to donors? We're looking for something, isn't it? So charity begins at home. Business, African business, family, individual, family, corporate, is part of our assets. We must work together in a manner that delivers value, mutual benefits for all. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say something about where we are. The Holocaust Center, where we are today, thank you for hosting us. This is a spectacular venue. The lesson that your center, our center, this center, teaches us is that tyranny, hatred, genocide, and other negatives are a heartbeat away. I listened to this lady when she was talking. Where is she? Thank you very much, madam. The Holocaust happened. The world said it will not happen again. And it happens in a full view of the world. As you rightly put it, Rwanda came. Things are happening in our countries, in our backyards. Things that should not be allowed to happen. When we do those things, they take away our eyes from fighting poverty, from investment, from capital mobilization, from working with the donors in a better way to better the lives of our people. So, I repeat, the lesson that we learn is that tyranny, hatred, genocide, other negatives are just a heartbeat away. Unless we strengthen our openness, accountability, transparency, and respect for one another. Respect for one another as human beings. To Baba, thank you for what you have done. For your lifetime of service. And for what you do for us, for Zambia, and indeed others, is commendable. I hear people saying, we'll follow in your footsteps. It's very difficult to follow in his footsteps. Very difficult. But we shall strive. To Jonathan, Nick, Madam, long live. May you continue to fund African democracy, African aspirations, among your many economic and social undertakings. But thank you. And to that fellow there, Greg, I wonder if you ever thought it would come to this. It would come to this point when we met those many years. Holiday Inn in Lusaka. You remember the weaver beds? They were there. I don't think you ever thought it would come to this, but we're here. We're proud of your work, and we'll continue to tap into your wisdom and knowledge in the years ahead. As always, we should continue to work to make things better and get things done. I have an issue back home that because we're in government now, because I'm a public servant now, I must not push for things to be done. No. We will push for things to be done. Because only when we push for things done will things get done. So, thank you, Greg. We want to encourage leaders in our governments and other governments to read this book. I also want to encourage others outside government, public sector, private sector, everywhere. Let us read this book. And indeed, act on the lessons. Act to avoid reinventing the wheel. And I think we'll be better people, communities, countries, continent, and the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for listening.
Thank you. That was President Hakainde Hichilema of the Republic of Zambia, a man of few but poignant words and action. I'm excited to see what he does during his trusted leadership in the country. So far, it's shaping up to be excellent. Speaking of excellent, we've just released a short documentary highlighting the key messages in the book Expensive Poverty. The central message of the book is this: Africa has received some $1.2 trillion in development assistance since 1990. Even though donors have spent more than $1,000 per person over these 30 years, the average income of sub-Saharan Africans has increased by just $350. The continent has very little to show for this money, some of which has been consumed by the donors themselves, much of it by local governments and elites. There absolutely must be a better way to address this poverty pandemic. Expensive Poverty is focused on answering the trillion-dollar question: why have decades of spending had such a small impact on improving the lives of the poor? Whatever the area of aid expenditure, humanitarian, governance, military, development, the overall intention should be the same, right? To try to reach the point that aid is no longer necessary. The documentary, in my opinion, is a must-watch. It helps to explore some of the solutions proposed to the questions I just posed, but also the chance to see me on camera. Jokes aside, you should give it a watch. There's a link in the description box that will lead you to the documentary. Do me a favor, click on it, and come tell me what you think afterwards. Lastly, grab a copy of the book, will you? In South Africa, you can find it wherever books are sold, or you can order a copy online wherever else you find yourself. That brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did putting it together. I love learning new things. Hey, if you enjoyed this chat, you definitely enjoy others that came before it. Check out previous episodes on whichever platform you're tuned into now, or visit our website, www.thebrenthurstfoundation.org, for other episodes. As always, thank you so much for listening. And if I could make one last ask of you, please do share this with others. Again, you're listening to Marie Noel on the Brenthurst Foundation podcast, and it's been a pleasure sharing this time with you. Until next week, stay well.